This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. This is episode 11 of season 6. We're just rolling along here, sort of looking back, looking at logistical things before we get into the guts of, you know, what you're looking at in terms of specific players in your draft, and then what we're going to do every week for the regular season. Thank you for being with me. Season 6 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, just like Season 2, 3, 4, and 5, is presented by Hooters. And if you, like me, are living in the greater Tampa Bay area where Hooters was born, the original Hooters brand continues to do great things for their customers in the greater Tampa Bay area. Easy online ordering at originalhooters.com and a brand new location in the rapidly growing area of northwest of Tampa. Some call it Trinity. Officially, it's called Odessa. It's just literally a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54 with a very nice outdoor patio. The whole location is extremely spacious. I encourage you to check it out as the newest original Hooters brand restaurant in the greater Tampa Bay area. I thank Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I'm getting to a last call. If you want to play in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast league, we will be expanding over how many leagues we had last year. We had obvious challenges last year. We consolidated basically to an all-star league. Some players had to go on hiatus because they were geographically displaced, or there were other reasons, or I simply didn't have room for them to continue playing because we just consolidated to one league. Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford, did everything he could for that one league, including offering a $1,000 check to the winner of that league, which went to a loyal Todd Wright Tour golfer and Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast player Robert Wright. Robert is expecting his first child very soon with the lovely Mrs. Wright, who has also come to golf tournaments, sat with me at Golf Fest at Tampa Bay Downs. She's come to drafts and just has a wonderful presence about her. Their son Benjamin is on the way shortly after the draft. Let's hope it doesn't happen that night, Mrs. Wright. Not that you can control that stuff. But Robert Wright got a $1,000 check from Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford and I have not disclosed yet what the first place prize will be, but we will be running multiple leagues out of Bill Curry Ford at a date and time that will be communicated to the actual players of those leagues. I'm not giving that out in the podcast because I don't want someone showing up last minute and saying, hey, I want to play. But we do it on the showroom floor at Bill Curry Ford. It'll be the second year we've done it. And Sean Sullivan plays against all of us in one of the leagues. It's a good time. Payway and Papa John's are going to cater this. If you have interest in playing in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League and you can physically, geographically make a draft night at Bill Curry Ford on Northdale Mabry in Tampa for a couple hours, shoot me an email. Tell me you want to play. There is no cost to play. Some often ask me, well, how much does it cost to play in your leagues? The Foundation League, which is my personal league, not affiliated with the podcast, but obviously I talk about it here with my very good friends for many years. There's no charge. We play for a wonderful trophy where every year we put a new name on the trophy. We update how the trophy looks. We play for hardware and pride. But thanks to Bill Curry Ford, if you're playing in one of my podcast leagues this year, you're playing for cash. You're playing for a check from Bill Curry Ford. So send me an email if you want in. And if we have room, I'll reach out to you and see if you can make it on our draft night and give you the date and time, and we'll go from there. Also, tell me about your fantasy experience. Keep it clean, please. Yes, your fantasy football experience. Tell me how long you've been a listener, either to my podcast or to my various radio projects over the years. I like to know about that as well. Fantasy experience is not required, but I want to know that the interest and the sort of the knowledge is there. If you know what I mean, I kind of want to gauge where you're coming from. So leave your phone number on that email as well. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All I want to do in this podcast, did I say this was number 10? I believe it's number 11. This is number 11 as we roll along, is talk about some of the wide receiver conclusions off last year. I've been doing a lot of this in these early podcasts. I did a lot of homework when last year ended, because I kind of hate when fantasy football ends. So I take that week where no one should be playing season-long fantasy football, and rarely do I even play DraftKings the final week of the regular season, even though it's more legit. And then I just get ramped up for the playoffs and who's going to win and lose, and then I get into the Vegas lines and some of the other things. But I drew a lot of conclusions from the final results of what players did, what trends were there, what patterns were there. And we haven't really talked about in any of the previous 10 episodes what 2020 showed us in terms of what wide receivers did. Keep in mind, none of my leagues use PPR. That'll be a separate podcast. I have never used PPR in any of my leagues, and I never will. That's a separate podcast. So points are solely based on the yardage they accumulate and the touchdowns that they score. We've already talked about in previous podcasts in the Todd Wright modernized, standardized scoring. The top 10 for the season were all quarterbacks. 11, 12, and 13 were running backs. 14, 15, 16, and 17 were quarterbacks. The first wide receiver in overall points was Tyreek Hill at number 18, followed closely by Davante Adams at number 19. Of note, Travis Kelce popped in as the first tight end at number 20. So 17 other players scored higher overall last year than any wide receivers. Hill and Adams were wide receiver one, wide receiver two. Put up a lot of touchdowns. Clearly were number one targets in their offense. It's interesting how last year kind of changed this a little bit. I have been a Tyreek Hill owner in the past, and I have been a Travis Kelce owner in the past. It was maddening, not to borrow the video game term from the Hall of Fame coach. I often said, is it, you know, you sort of had to analyze, is this going to be a Hill week, a Tyreek week, or a Travis week? Because rarely, up until recently, would Hill and Kelce both produce in games. It seems like one had a big game and the other, not so much. And you lived with it. It wasn't like you were going to bench either one of them, even if you were like, this might not be a good place for them. You still have to play them because you're spending, you know, what at worst, a top two or three draft pick on them, and they're in a high-octane offense in Kansas City. Last year, I remember both of them being a little more consistent, and that also speaks to the overall numbers that, you know, Tyreek Hill was wide receiver one, overall 18. Kelce was tight end one, overall 20. So they were right there with each other. And even when one had a down game compared to other wide receivers and tight ends, the body of work for the entire season, which I know in a particular week, you get really upset, you know, when your star guys only give you a mid-single digit number in a particular game, they don't score a touchdown. You know, what do they have? You know, 40 to 50 yards. And you're like, well, that was nice. But you have to look at the overall body of work for what they do for the season. And you can't argue with the results of what Hill and Kelce did from a fantasy standpoint last year, being overall number 18 and 20, and both being number one at their respective positions. Interestingly, Mahomes was not number one overall at quarterback. That was Josh Allen by a little bit. So Mahomes was QB2, Hill was wide receiver 1, Kelsey tight end 1, and of course KC finished 2nd in the league, non-fantasy, losing Super Bowl 55 to Brady and the Bucks. Once you there was then a lot of running backs that came in, and we've talked about the gap from the top three running backs, which were Kamara, Cook, and Henry, down to running backs 4 through 10. So, and then sort of you got into the wide receivers at 3 through 10. Here were the names in overall scoring in my scoring settings last year, 3 through 10. So behind Hill and Adams, there was a gap. And then we got to Diggs, Ridley, DK Metcalf, Thielen. I'm out of practice. I wrote DK on a dry erase board when I did this last year, and I had to think who DK was. Thielen, and he missed some time. Mike Evans was 7. Jefferson, the rookie from Minnesota, was 8. I don't think I was watching recently NFL Network, and I just saw a graphic as they were interviewing him at camp. Is it true that no wide receiver put up more yardage in a rookie season than Jefferson last year? That says a lot. So Jefferson was 8, Hopkins was 9. We remember we went through this thing last year, and we talked about it at length on the podcast. Hopkins seemed to be penalized in ADP by the majority, that because he left Deshaun Watson and went to Kyler Murray in Arizona, he was penalized about a round in ADP. Instead of going in the first round, he was going in the second round. And that was wrong. And Hopkins' numbers did drop off a little as the season went on in terms of his overall production because Arizona dropped off. Because remember that they were 2-5 in their last 7 games. And Kyler Murray was clearly playing hurt, but I still subscribe to the theory that teams kind of figured out the Kingsbury-Kyler offense for the most part, and now let's see if Arizona can evolve beyond what people have figured out. And then Robinson from Chicago, who just every year is just a rock solid, no matter how bad Robinson has played in Jacksonville and Chicago. And it was wide receiver 10 last year. That's one of those guys, and we've talked about it on the podcast. Don't overthink that guy. If you want consistency, if you want, and I often say you want guys who touch the ball. He touches the ball, and he's also going to catch a significant percentage of the balls thrown his way. So again, the top 10 wide receivers last year in my scoring settings were Hill, Adams, Diggs, Ridley, DK Metcalf, Thielen, Evans, Jefferson, Hopkins, Robinson. Interesting, Diggs traded from Minnesota to Buffalo. So if you penalize Diggs for being traded off the Vikings, that was also a bad move, as it was penalizing Hopkins. Now, the interesting part, and email me if I'm wrong, none of these 10 guys changed teams this year. The top 10 wide receivers from last year are all back in the same uniform. And I think, not all with the same quarterback. So Tyreek is back in KC with Mahomes. Adams is back in Green Bay with Rodgers on The Last Dance. That's a big factor. Adams is in a contract year, and so is Rodgers. It would not surprise anybody if Adams is the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. Not anybody. Diggs 3, hell of a splash in Buffalo for Diggs with the number one quarterback in fantasy last year in Josh Allen. Ridley now is the number one wide receiver in Atlanta. Now, that usually is a good thing. Sometimes receivers can't go from being a wide receiver 2 to a wide receiver 1. I have some questions if Ridley can handle that. I think he's a terrific wide receiver, but he will have defenses on a game-by-game basis now defending him differently. And Atlanta, of course, has changed that entire offense with the change from Dan Quinn and Dirk Cutter to bringing in the former coordinator with the Tennessee Titans. So I don't know that Ridley goes wide receiver 4 again, even with Jones gone. That's just my instinct. DK Metcalf 5. Thielen 6. In the last couple of years, Thielen's missed some games and still just hauls in a ton of targets. And obviously gets in the red zone. Evans at 7 for the Buccaneers. No reason to shy away from him at this point. Justin Jefferson at 8, now into his second year. If anything, I wouldn't be surprised if, and I haven't started looking at some of the ADPs, if Jefferson and Thielen are basically neck and neck, or there are some of you who draft who will take Jefferson over Thielen. Just because he's younger, he has no injury history, he set the rookie record for yardage last year, he's got one more year under his belt, he's got a full season under his belt with Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I could see Jefferson going before Thielen in a significant percentage of leagues. Hopkins at 9, I think we're past that. Well, should I retire because I'm not vaccinated? I think we're past that, but I do have some questions about the Arizona offense. But don't make the same mistake you made last year. If Hopkins is sitting there and he's clearly the best wide receiver on the board in the draft, and you want a wide receiver, don't overthink it this year. Don't pass on him 2 years in a row. And then Robinson from Chicago, who I believe was franchised because there was some thought he was leaving, but he didn't at number 10. But he has a new quarterback. So all of these other guys have the same quarterbacks. Robinson has a new quarterback in Chicago. They say it's Andy Dalton. We know it will be Justin Fields, right? Dalton's on about as short a leash, much shorter than even Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. So there were the top 10 wide receivers from last year, and just some conversation around them as it may apply to how you look at them this particular season. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember, their newest location in the greater Tampa Bay area, just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway in Odessa. And for easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com, click order on the orange icon in the upper right-hand corner. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.